Welcome to Raising Your Spirits. Our hope is to help you make positive changes by providing guided messages from Spirit. Tuning forks, crystals, and distance healing are how we pass those messages from Spirit to you. Sit back, relax, and enjoy your vibrational growth with us. Your host for Raising Your Spirits, Tony Jinnis.
Welcome, everybody, to another edition of Tuning In with Tony. We're going to be talking about removing yourself. It's a lot deeper topic than when I was told on this topic. I says, really? And the color today is going to be yellow. All right, so yellow is going to be the topic itself, and we'll see how that goes. This episode is brought to you by Higher Self. It's a group of teachers, I'm one of them, to talk about the various ways that we can raise our vibrations on a constant basis. There's all kinds of ways that we can do it through yoga, tuning sessions if you come in, or if you get a reading from somebody, any kind of a way that you find insight that puts your perspective at a higher level. We do this through classes, whether it be through feng shui, whether it's healing through tuning forks that we use. We have singing bowls. We have various angel reading and angel tuning classes. And it's just a whole host of things that can keep our energy high. And today we're going to be talking about removing yourself in some areas. And this has a little bit to do with, you know, when the heat gets a little up there and we just don't think that this is going to really benefit us, how do we remove ourselves? How do we get out of that situation? The theme today is about abundance. It's all about abundance, but it's not like a money abundance. That's a different energy. This type of an abundance is what you feel spiritually. It's the abundance you have with your inner health, your outer health, your physical health, the health of your mind and your thoughts. And when somebody says something and right away you go to something that grows, that kind of abundance. There's a few crystals I wanted to go over that we have over 100 different kinds, but I had a few that I picked off. One is called prenite. It's a prenite, and it basically brings in a level of spirituality, and it heightens it and relieves restlessness, calms various energies down so that your inner higher self or your inner being can communicate with you. Another one is called citrine. Now, this is not only good for money. By the way, most of these bracelets are something that it has to touch your skin. Now, if you have a stone, sometimes citrine you can just have in your pocket. So you don't have to really have it next to your skin. But when you're talking about abundance, it needs something that you could feel. In this intention, it needs to kind of hit your skin in some way. Well, some women will put it in their bra. Some will put it in their sock. Just so it's touching your skin. That's why I like bracelets, because it just goes on there, right? And you don't have to think about it. So it's good that way. But citrine is a great one for having this mental clarity. It increases confidence and your inner willpower also increases. That's a good one for someone that really wants to, let's say, get into the public speaking part of it. And they wanted to really grow that way. Another one is called calcite. Calcite's a great stone from Mexico. It brings in that personal power, that inner strength that we hope for. It's also great for intuition and self-worth. Like, how much are you worth? Whenever we are looking at what we want to do, and this topic today is really going to show that, is that when we are trying to help somebody, are we helping them so that we feel better, so our self-worth is better, or are we really trying to help them? There's a difference, but it looks the same from the naked eye. But it also boosts thoughts and various ideas that you might have. The last one that I picked out is called serpentine. This bracelet, what it does, it manifests abundance through love and prosperity. The prosperity, again, if you ask a person who is aged, let's say is 80 years plus, if you ask them what is prosperity to them, they'll say unequivocally, and so far I've asked several people that are in that age group, including my mom, and the first thing she says is, I want to see my grandkids more, right? I want to see my family more, or I want to be able to be more active. That is their prosperity. So this one, serpentine, is a really good one because it really gets to that level of healing where you know what is really important now. It aids in emotional and hormonal imbalances as well, because as we kind of want something, various other things comes into play. When we're looking at how we are removing ourselves, I mean, you know, the world is full of really kind-hearted people. It is. There's so many people that are really kind, will lend a hand to somebody, and Spirit just wants to say, this is great, and they don't want you to change. However, there's a few caveats in case helping people is something new to you. Once you've hit 40 plus, then you've learned a lot of the things that how sometimes help is not helping at all. What is your idea of helping? A mother just recently was trying to get her son, who's about 24, 25, you know, just to get out of the house, get a job, do stuff. After high school, he just didn't want to do anything. And for the last few years, he's been basically at home, not doing anything, in her words, not mine. She says, how do I motivate this person? Because I've done everything. I've gone through their resume, gone through everything, all the things they could do. You know, they wanted to do some things with contracting and some carpentry work. I listed all of that. And I even went ahead and set up a local employer that would employ him close by where he wouldn't even need a car, because that would be one of the biggest excuses. Well, I can't drive there. I don't have a car. So she got one literally within a half a kilometer of where they live. So she sets up the appointment with him and her husband and all of that, and everything's good. And all he had to do was show up. Guess what happened? He never showed up on the day of the interview. So she says, gee, what can I do? And then so we talked about it. And I says, who felt good doing all of this? Certainly not your son, evidently, because otherwise he would have shown up. He wants to improve his life, or does he? Like, what is the real difference with it? Sometimes we help and we help and we help and we feel good because we feel that we're doing something. And yet there's no results. And yet we hear of stories all the time of people that have no help, absolutely nothing, no help whatsoever. And they get out of off the streets, they get a little apartment, they start off something, they meet this person, they come together, and within a couple of years, they now have a house, you know, like they're getting married soon, and there's growth, and nobody has helped them. And then you talk to them is, what was your sort of journey like so far? Oh, everything was against us. Absolutely everything. Nobody would lend a hand to me at all. I was all by myself, and I just needed just something to give me a warm place to sleep. I was just tired of sleeping underneath a vent outside that was warm coming from the inside of the building. For those days, it made me really resilient. And one time he says he crawled into one apartment and he went downstairs and hid himself underneath the stairs where it was warm. And he thought that was the best thing ever. So there's gratitude there. But he wanted to really have this internal to make it. And from that, the bottom of the stairs, he made himself something with no help. So sometimes we give the most by giving nothing. So we got to realize, when are we going to start removing ourselves and getting out of the way? The mother that wants the son to get a job and does everything but like put the horse's head in the water, do something to his mouth so there's water in his mouth, only for the horse to swallow, and won't even do that. So what are we doing? Are we really helping? Or because we are making it so obvious that they are disempowered, they are feeling worse because they just don't have the energy and they don't want to move anything. Now, I'm not getting into a lot of detail. However, the universe has many ways in which you can motivate people. This 25-year-old son that didn't want to do anything, all he had to do was meet an amazing girl that has goals, that has aspirations, and saw something in him. Definitely wasn't something apparent, but she felt something in this person. You know, the diamond in the rough thing. And overnight, literally overnight, this gentleman transformed. He wanted to be better than he was. And because he wanted it so badly, it came very quickly. They started going out, and he started to talk, and he started to get a job, and then he had two jobs, and then he said, we need our own place, because they were still living in different places. I'm going to do this. And then the man's providing energy kicks in, his protective energy kicks in, and of course, at that point, they're unstoppable. And he did end up getting whatever they needed as a down payment to get their first apartment. And then I don't know where they are now. It was some time ago. But you can only imagine. You see, the mother at that point did nothing. and the universe did was needed. And not to judge or anything, but the mother was actually in the way. Because every time the sun would go down and down, the mother would see that, okay, I can't have that. We need to bring him up. He never was able to hit rock bottom. Does that make sense? When you hit rock bottom, the only place to go is up. He hadn't hit rock bottom. And it's really hard to look at. But sometimes as parents, as friends, whoever it is, we sometimes have to watch, and it's not very good to see. But sometimes we have to let people hit the wall. We have to let people hit rock bottom, only for them to say, I need help. Okay, now I can do it. But you can't volunteer help because what you're giving may not be what they want. Recently, I heard of a local employer that wanted to do something for their staff in the shop. Their coffee maker died or whatever, and they were complaining about no coffee, and they had to send out sometimes people to go to Tim Hortons and get a coffee and stuff like that. And he says, you know what? I'm going to do something for my staff. They want coffee. I'll give them coffee. So he went out and buy an $800 coffee maker. And it has espresso. You could make lattes. And he said this would exactly what they needed. So he brings in this big machine and he says, go to it, boys. And they look at it. What is this? It's a coffee maker. I don't want that. I'm not drinking out of that. Because you got to realize that people that are drinking Nespresso and espresso and all these types of drinks are not exactly blue-collar workers. I'm not giving any judgments there, but it tends to be more of the people that are successful-oriented, that are, you know, going to meetings and they have appointments and stuff, then pick up a latte. But the point is, the image that this coffee maker, which was massive, it was about 5 times the size of a normal coffee maker, and didn't even know how to use it. What's this for? Well, this is where you want to froth your cream. Froth my what? You know? In other words, this was way, way over their self-image. They just wanted a $40 coffee maker at Walmart. That would have made them super happy. But he never consulted the employees. He says, what kind of coffee maker do you guys want? I'll tell you what. You guys go and pick it out and I'll pay for it. No, go to Walmart and pick up the one that is fitting to their self-image, to their worth, what they want. They just wanted a $40 coffee maker. So when we are helping, we have to remove ourselves in some way that are we really helping? So let's look at relationships and love. Another thing we have to look at is if we're going to make a commitment to somebody over a long period of time, we got to think, am I going to stay in this relationship? And that is the intention most times is to, you know, let's make this go a long way, right? When will be the point where we're going to have to remove ourselves in case we make the wrong decision, in case we choose wrong? And this, what they're really saying is they're not really dipping into their feelings. They're dipping into the fact that, hey, I got to get married because, like, hey, I'm 29 and my clock is ticking, my biological clock, you know, the neighbors can hear. In other words, I need to get married. Is this going to be the right one instead of getting one that is aligned with your energy? And that is more the case. You got to know, realize one thing. If you know somebody that is in that position where they're about to make this big decision, they have to realize one thing, Spirit is saying, that depending on how they treat themselves is the exact same way they're going to treat you. In other words, a person that lies to themselves, like they'll say, yeah, I'm really good at math, but you know, I really don't care for it. So they're lying. Or I really don't think that I can do something. That's a lie. So if they're lying to themselves, then there's no way that they will be honest with you. They do the same. If this person is at war with themselves, there is no way that they can give you peace. If this person is betraying themselves in various ways, they say something, they want to make an appointment, and then they don't go. Like going to a job. If they betray the person that's waiting for them in the appointment, they will betray you. If they don't love themselves fully, how can they love you? How can they? They don't know what love is to them, and they will only love another person at the same level as they love themselves. So I think the best compliment a woman can ever get is to say, I will love you just as much as I love myself. and I love myself a lot. So in other words, when you inculminate whatever is going on with you and then you want someone else, it's easy to do that reciprocal. Now, the only time that it'll be a slight exception, but it's not really an exception, it's more of what people will see, is that if you love somebody more than you love yourself, you're doing it for a number of reasons. One could be reliance. I need this person because they're going to be paying part of the expenses, or something that to do with dependency, something to do with I need to be married because everyone's talking and I just need to be married. So in other words, it's not unconditional love. And if you talk to any woman over 40, that's exactly what they're looking for. Unconditional love, because they've been through the game and they're tired of it. Honestly, they're tired of just having people that they like, but yet it's not reciprocated. They don't know how to say, I love you. I think more and more women are saying that to their men, is that, why don't you ever say you love me? Well, I say it all the time. No, you say ditto, and it's not the same thing. I think they deserve it. They've been doing so much. They've had to put up with men for so much, for so long. I think they really deserve to say that I do love you. Or on an oddball Tuesday, come home with flowers. They didn't have the money to buy flowers, so they stopped at the side of the road because there's one little farm that has lilacs that's sprouting right about now. And they stop, get a bouquet of lilac because I know my wife likes things that smell nice. And lilacs really do. So here you go. That means more to a woman, I think, than anything, because you took the time. It's not about getting a bouquet you had to spend money on, especially if they're in the beginning of any relationship. There's going to be some degree of growth, you know, some degree of trying to save money and stuff. But that's one way that people really like it. Sometimes we have to act and letting some of these people go and removing yourself from some of these toxic people. And it doesn't mean it's going to be a spouse, but it could be a group of friends, or it could be partially family. There could be some place that, okay, I like myself so much, I'm going to start to see removing myself from this circumstances because it's toxic and I feel it and I don't like it. It's only when you can remove yourself, that's when you're really going to start healing. Or if you remove yourself so that you don't have to go into a relationship like that, you're going to save yourself a lot of disappointments. And that's what it's all about. It's not a knee-jerk reaction. You're using the relationship as a tool so that you can share your life. You're not dependent on each other. Each of you are individual people that can support yourself, but when you get together, it's even better. More peace, because you're already peaceful. You can give peace to somebody if you're peaceful. Think about it. If a person is totally peaceful, they're happy with their life. It's a peaceful relationship, because if you are looking for that and they're not creating that war within themselves, which will spill onto you, it will be a peaceful life. But here's the thing. Sometimes the universe sees a person that's being abused, that's being taken advantage of, that's being just treated in such a way that's disrespectful, and it's just not acceptable whatsoever. But they don't take action. But if this person that's being abused is selected to do something at a certain point in their life, and somehow they're just beaten down and they're not doing it, that is the time that the universe will sometimes step in and just make it so that we got to get this person out. They're not coming out on their own. They're not removing themselves on their own. So they will actually do whatever it takes to have you kicked out of that relationship. And sometimes it is a little bit like that, where the perpetrator or a person that is aggressive says, you know what, out you go, and kicks you out, knowing that you'll be coming back on your hands and knees begging to be forgiven, only to be reabused again. And then when you get kicked out, at that point you have a chance to collect yourself and just realize, is this my exit strategy? Is this the point that I can just keep going? Because now I have an excuse. I'm out of the house. And you know what? Anything that's in the house, I could replace, other than the kids, of course. But if it's just you and another person, you can keep walking. That might be your exit strategy. In other words, those that are listening now that are going through that, and you don't have a chance to move out, or you don't can't. There's fear that if you go, but if he kicks you out, that might be your signal to keep going. And the universe will actually make it frustrating for this abuser so that that's one of his strategies, that you'll come back on your hands and knees. And that's all he needs to do is believe that if he kicks you out, that'll be it. You'll be coming back. And then you keep going. And so it worked. So sometimes the universe will step in if your journey has to be at another place where you got to be focused and you got to be at another vibrational place, a higher vibration, but it won't happen in this environment. So they will do that. So sometimes people will say, oh, Tony, you won't believe what happened. I got kicked out of my house. And I says, okay, well, the first thing I'm getting from spirit is, thank God, you didn't go back, did you? No. I'm trying to find a place in all this. And says, good, please. This is your exit strategy. This is a gift. How do you think this is a gift? All my clothes are in there. Like, it doesn't matter. Clothes can be replaced. In fact, the clothes were old anyway. You wanted a new life. This is it. The clothes on your back is all you need. And you have your self-respect intact. He says, well, I'm getting there. I says, it's okay. It's only going to be at a point where once you start realizing how beautiful you are, how powerful you are, and when you look back, you'll realize the damage that that relationship caused you. You'll say, oh, thank God I got kicked out. Thank God the universe stepped in. Because right now, I'm not feeling too good about myself because I think that maybe God was mad at me. I says, no, this is not a punishment. It's a liberation. Simple as that. It was a rescue. It was an intervened rescue to get you out because you have work to do. You got things to do. I'm not being told what it is, and I'm never being told what it is. However, I am told that this is the start of your journey. Now you don't have that on you. And so what I'm being told is for the next few sessions that we do, we'll work something out. But right now, you need to bring your vibration up. And there I can help if you're open for it. I'm not here to push, but we'll work out the numbers after. Right now, you need help. Are you okay with that? Absolutely. I just can't give you much. It's okay. The universe says it's okay. They will provide for you and you'll have the opportunity to take care of it down the road. But right now, you need help. If you're open. But I'm not going to be chasing you. I just realized because they don't want me to do that. And she says, no, I'd be great. So in other words, that's the opening and that's the start of a new life. Not only a new chapter. Forget the chapter. A new book. It's a brand new book. Whatever happened was the old person that was in there. And that's now what it is. Universe will always try and do that where they get your place of abundance. And it was an illusion for you that this person told you that you were not attractive, that nobody would want you. What man would want you? You can't even do X, Y, Z, whatever it was. But the point is that you felt less than yourself. And I see unbelievable potential. I see light coming out of every single part of your body. I don't even know what they've got you hooked up for, but at the height of like a priestess or something. There's stuff here. So let's see if we can get some of that light out of you. I'm not going to put anything in. Let's see if we can get something out. And so that journey took an amazing turn after. But something that I thought when I read this, when the Spirit told me, I had to look at it a few times before I realized, wow, this is amazing. And the quote was, unfortunately, some people were not put here to evolve. They were here to remind us what it looks like when we don't. And how many good-hearted people are trying to change this type of person that doesn't want to grow, that doesn't want to live, that doesn't want to do anything, something that is immovable. There are things that have to happen, and they still won't do anything. But they were put here exactly for that, because it's an example for you that if you don't want to evolve, that's what you'll turn into. And so you'll ask the question, do I want that? And so that question, when we ask ourselves, when we don't want to evolve, we don't want to grow, we don't want to prosper, we don't want to love, we don't want to do anything, you have an example of what it will look like. That will be you if you don't do anything. That's it. It's not there for you to help. You could lend a hand, like we all do. The Spirit doesn't want to change you. We could attempt it, But Allspirit is sort of highlighting here and showcasing the fact that when you are helping somebody, there are going to be some red flags that will come up very, very soon. The first thing is non-gratitude. They won't say thank you for anything. In fact, every time you help them, I have to do that. Oh, okay. And they don't do it. All you had to do was show up. You didn't show up. I set the whole thing up for you. I even bought you a suit. And I even gave you some shoes. I got you all set up. All you had to do was show up. If you couldn't make it, I would have driven you. Now you've embarrassed me because you didn't show up for the job interview. And now the person's saying, why did you call me? In other words, you built up this person so much and I really needed somebody. And I didn't go to the job site knowing that this person would be there. And now my time is wasted because it never showed. Then I tried to call this person, not answering the phone. In other words, those are some of the red flags that will come up and it will signal you, says, okay, obviously I've overstepped my helping boundaries and that's fine because sometimes we will do that. But all you need to do is know what some of the signs are. When you can see some of the signs that they're not helping themselves, literally not doing anything and resisting every step of the way, then you just say, okay, universe, take care of my son. It's all up to you now. And then she will go down, hit a wall, hit rock bottom, whatever it takes, until nature decides to be their teacher. I will be here as support, but I won't be here just to be able to be a punching bag or just to be able to be abused. You're going to treat everything with respect, but I'm not going to push you anymore. You're a big person. You're an adult. Everything I've taught you, everything that you need, I gave life to you. That itself is big. And I took care of you right up until the time where you're now able to take care of yourself. You could comb your hair. You could dress yourself. You could make yourself something. And now, if you ask, I will help you. But if you don't ask, I'm just going to assume everything is hunky-dory. Okay? Everything is good. If it's not good, well, that's your fault. You know, we have a saying in our house. And that saying is, if you leave our house hungry, it's your fault. Because if you can't just eat, then there's not much else we could do. That's fine. Don't eat. One last thing before we go into the meditation was you want to talk a little bit about the black sheep of the family. You know this person, the misfit, the person that doesn't do anything the family is doing. These are the people that don't belong anywhere. They're ostracized. They're made fun of. They're ridiculed. Because they're zigging and the whole world is zagging. Because these types of people, the black sheep of the family as they call it, they're an anomaly. They're separate from their energy. They don't go with the norm. Everyone else goes with the norm without question. They don't question anything. But this person, their mind and their direction is totally their own. They are going to the beat of their own drum. Literally, their own music that they are doing. And they see the illusion of other people buying into whatever it is they're buying into, and they don't bother to say anything. And they normally don't because it risks, and they dare not say it because then they risk being ostracized. They'll be ridiculed, banned, shunned, and made a fool. And that's not what they're looking for. But in doing all of that, what they actually do is that they finally see that what the sickness is. Okay? And they don't want to be a part of it. They see things very clearly that everyone else is sick, but everyone else thinks that they are the problem. I know a family that has 8 children, and one of them is what they call, their words, black sheep of the family. They don't listen to us. From birth, they was always running into the traffic, always doing dangerous things. Like they never listened. And we were trying to teach them all the things that we are doing. And it's just not sinking in. And he says, well, let's fast forward 20 years. Do you think it would be an advantage of an adult not listening to everything that this person is being told that is right, that is self-reliant on themselves? Wouldn't that be something that you would want in an adult? To an adult, yes, but these are kids. And where are the kids are going to learn this? When they're adults? It's too late. They'll learn it as kids. They'll do it as kids, but you won't be able to shake them. In fact, nothing you do will make them, even if you force them to do whatever you're going to do, they're going to eventually be pushed away and shunned so that they will be in silence, and that's where they're going to gain their strength. I mean, look at it. Whenever someone has lots of noise all around them, they're easy to manipulate. Very easy to manipulate people that are constantly have sound around them. These are the people that have the TV and the radio in another room. No one's watching it. No one's listening to it. But it's on because it's noisy. They like the noise. And they're in the kitchen doing something. There are some times after work, all I want is just silence. You just don't ask me any questions. Don't ask me anything. I just want to be quiet. And that is the point of growth. Because then I can go into myself and I could, you know, reflect what happened. How would I have reacted differently? I can reflect. I can assess myself and just say, you know, maybe next time I'll do that. And I just want quiet. But sometimes, you know, people come home and there is no quiet. It's a constant array of noise and everything. But the black sheep of the family person, they see this and they kind of quietly move away from it because they don't want to be part of it. They want to go to a much, much more quiet place to be. The purpose was never for them to sort of fit in and belong anywhere. That's never the point. However, when they do, they are at a totally different realm. There was one that said, to all black sheep of the family type people, your path was never meant to be inside the herd and conform, but to awaken others to what they don't see because of all of the noise and the distractions. The best way you can see and do something or end something is to let it starve. And these types of people are great at that. They know that if they engage in negativity with somebody, whether it's an argument or whether it's an altercation or there's a difference of opinion, and they realize that the negativity is amping up, they just walk away. They don't bother dealing with what they call stupid people because you can't change stupid. I'm not saying that's a label, but this is a quote. You can't change that. So conflict thrives on attention. The moment you engage is you feed it. And so anything that you feed, it grows. Anything you feed. As soon as you remove yourself and hold back your energy, what happens? It withers away like a fire without air. It just slowly dwindles to nothing. Because to get negativity, it needs two people back and forth. It's like a ping pong. Have you tried to play ping pong by yourself? You hit the ping pong, goes over the table, the game is over. It's pretty boring. It's not until somebody throws the ball at you, then you can throw it back. And that's where it goes back. Now, in ping pong is a great sport. But when you turn that into negativity and they're throwing insults back and forth, it just amps up. It gets worse. The world is full of patterns with never-ending loops to grab your attention because it is food. For negativity, your confrontation, your attention is food so that it could grow. Without you, it dies. It absolutely demands your attention. So your question is, if I pull back, it dies. Do I want to be part of this? And people that are understanding how energy works, they know they're not going to be anything part of that. You don't have to play the game. All you have to do is simply step back and the game itself collapses. Do not fight with negativity that demands this attention. Remove yourself entirely because your energy is so precious. It needs you. So if you're looking somebody or something that needs you, don't choose this particular energy because it needs you all the time, incessantly. It needs a lot of noise also around you. It needs you to be distracted. Then it has the chance to feed on you. Just look at kids that play video games for more than 2 hours. More than 2 hours. Studies show that if a person is playing a video game for 2 hours and you say, okay, that is enough, I think we need to go outside or let's go to a park or something, they will be furious. Their whole personality changes. And with some mothers, they even say, the voice of my child actually changes because they don't talk like that to me ever. But 2 hours of video games in that, well, I'm not saying video games are bad, I'm just saying too much of it is not optimal. So break the cycle and the life will adjust to your absence. It'll just adjust. Nothing ever dies anyway. It'll just turn into a new form to find another person that is willing to take and give their power. where the power really lies is in not your resistance, but in your redirection of that energy. That's when you're powerful. So it's not like you're trying to avoid anything. It's just that it's not worth my time. So I'm just going to redirect it. That's probably a better way to look at things. And that way you don't have to deal with the consequences after. It always needs your permission, whether it's good or bad. Negative energy kind of needs your permission. And if they go in, and with my experience, any energy that comes into a person's body without their permission, it's pretty easy to take out. Pretty easy. It's only on the surface. With your permission and your guidance, yeah, it's harder because it's linked into your permission. So in this meditation that we have for you, we're going to play the sun meditation. Since we're having the yellow as our color today, I want you to go back into your life in this meditation and find all those things that set you apart, that you didn't really belong to a team, you didn't maybe belong to a family, maybe another family, maybe through an adoption, or maybe you went to another. You would always, let's say, go to your grade 3 teacher and you would say, gee, I wish you were my mom. Go through all those things in your life that kind of you didn't really belong. You didn't belong on the tennis team. You didn't belong on the basketball team. You weren't picked for the baseball team or football, or trying just not to bring up any sort of sorrow type energies. This is just data collection. You're just going back and find out, where did I not belong? And then after you get a little collection of there, ask yourself, was I meant to not be in there? In other words, I was removed from there for a reason. And ask Spirit at that point, now what? Now that I know that I don't belong in certain places, where do I belong? Like, where do I go from here? And on top of what you already know, they're saying, add this to that equation to give you more clarity in exactly why you were never meant to be with a crowd. Never meant to go with the norm, to follow everybody else, because you had your own way of doing things. Thank you.
Thanks for listening to Raising Your Spirits. If there is a subject you would like to hear in a future podcast or would like to book a session with Tony, reach out at lovehigherself.com. Join the Facebook group, Tuning In with Tony, or attend group tuning classes with Tony in his online virtual weekly classes. You can also access the YouTube channel, Raising Your Spirits with Tony. Until next time, namaste.